It's my day. That's what he did. That's what he does in the book, and he's like, "What day is it today?" It's Wednesday. Ooh, it's my day.
Yeah. You guys need to watch American Gods or even read the book. Honestly, read the book. The book
read the book fantastic. And Anansi Boys. Anansi Boys. Yes,
yo, Anansi Boys is fantastic. If you don't read the book for Anansi Boys, which I really do think you should, the BBC audio play of Anansi Boys is fantastic. The voice cast on that is excellent. They all do a ridiculous good job on it. The story is really, really good. And you know, Anansi as a spider god in like African lore is so important. And just listening to that audio play come to life really, really, because you know, like even when I was a kid, my parents would tell me stories about Anansi. Do you guys know the Skinny's face? What?
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what?
Okay.
Do you guys
know either T'Challa? Shit.
But do you guys know the story of Anansi, the Anansi story with the plantain?
No, not that one.
Anansi's with his family, and everyone's at the table, and Anansi gives it's him, his wife, and the three kids, I think. And everyone has a piece of plantain and he doesn't have any. So, but you know, he's providing for the family. So it's obviously more important. The family has to eat. And then the family starts to feel bad that he doesn't have anything. So they each give him half. But if the other four people give you half, you end up with two. Yep. And they all have half.
They're sneaking in math. They're sneaking in math to you.
Yeah. So I just remember that story when I was a kid because I always thought the idea of the story was more, the more you give, the more you receive. But when I heard it as a kid, I thought, oh, that's sneaky. Being good gets you more stuff like that. Like my child mind was just like, okay, so he had none and he, you know, looked sad because he gave up to make sure everybody had some. And then they all gave him half. And then he had more than everybody.
Yeah.
And
I'm just like, teach him compassion. Then you get your shit back. That makes sense.
Spilt water all over myself.
Teach your children compassion, and that way you'll always have snacks.
I dig it. Said from a true father himself, right here, folks. Yeah.
No, I don't get things back. No, no, my food gets taken.
Yeah.
You know that Homer scene where he's trying to eat the chip and the dogs just be like, and he's like, this time, no, that's my
You're comparing your daughters to 25 pounds.
Cookies around them. I'm not playing.
Look at Dave. Dave, you knew exactly what he meant.
Wasn't that a clip on Instagram, I think, a reel or something, where it's like the dad goes, is like, he looks at his wife, he's like, go, go, go. And he's like, hey, kids, you want to go do something over here, huh? And then the mom goes into like the broom closet or something, starts eating like a chocolate bar.
Yeah,
Can't eat around the kids. They're all like, yo, mom's got some chocolate, hook it up.
Basically, there's this like, Lonnie watches this thing called Baby John, and they have this song where it's like, the kids are basically like calling their parents out for eating sweets. They're like, what, eating cookies? And the parents like, no, dear. And they're like, open your mouth. Like, open your mouth. And the father's like, like joking, but it's really like punk kid. Like, shit, I was trying to have some donuts.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, wild.
I would just be like, go to your room.
You can't see kids said, sorry, go ahead. What, Jaws?
Well, you can't.
I remember a comedian said like his dad would just send everybody to bed. Him and his brother, they would get ice cream, but he would purposely kind of whip the ice cream a little bit, make it melt a little bit, so you can get a little bit extra ice cream on the side. And then he's like, his brother was like the scientist. You look at his bowl, like his brother's bowl, the back of his brother. And he's like, Daddy, you gave him more than me. Everybody get in the bed. I don't care. I ain't dealing with this. Everybody get in the bed.
Provided that they go to bed, because you literally have like a small window before it's like tired to the point of they'll sleep. No, I'm not sleeping. And that's the difference of like 7 minutes. Where you have tired on the cusp of, they'll listen to you. You'll be like, okay, time to bed. And they'll be like, okay, no whining, no crying. They'll just lie down, listen to their songs. Don't judge me. My daughter's sleep song was Aqua, Dr. Jones, and it currently is. But it also has digivolved to Popping My Collar by 3-6 Mafia. That's okay. It's okay. It's weird that she says working these hoes, but as long as
I don't even know what she's saying.
As long as their daycare teacher isn't like, she doesn't go and tell Amber, hey, you know, I listen to Popping My Collar with Daddy. Because she's getting
Popping My Collar.
Lonnie's getting good. Like she's the Project Pat will start rapping. She's like, I don't know these words. And then this day in the car, she's like, you know, I'm sicker than sicker. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Once it gets to that point. Yeah, but you have a small window before they go to bed. And,
yeah.
So that father is like, hey, go to bed. And everybody went to bed. Pray to him, man. Props on him. He probably
that was his punishment. It wasn't everyone actually going to bed. He just said that was his punishment when you didn't want to deal with it.
If they went, they went. That's good. I wish I could do that. Yeah, I didn't want this. Go to bed. Just go lie down. What?
In a world where your kids actually listen to you.
I got
it. Well, I mean, as if they don't listen to, then smack, smack, smack.
Yo, know, listen, guys, I tell you, like, it's like they tell them that we can't do that.
Yeah. They learned that in the womb now.
They know from top. We everything's an empty threat. What are you going to do? Not feed me? Stop it. Get out of here.
Well, I remember.
Well, that's what I was saying when Dave said, oh, send them to their room. Send them to the room to do what? Play with their toys? play on their Nintendo, their TV, play with their Barbies? Like, sending a kid to their room is the most
punishment. Go to your room. Why? So I could have fun?
Yeah. You know what? You know what's a true punishment for a child? Telling the child, come sit here and watch Nova on a Sunday night. That's a punishment.
Or if 60 you, minutes?
Yeah.
If Yo. You had told 60 me as minutes. A, oh my God.
If you had told me as a child, I have to watch Nova or 60 minutes or any type of talking head news when I was a child, that would have easily been the most painful thing.
Come here, boy. Watch 2020. Ah.
Yes. Yes.
No.
All of that. As you a downs. Child, that was death. You're sitting there watching the TV, watching some show, laughing your ass off. The show ends tonight. You're like, no. You immediately get up and run away.
You'd see that little like clock that would start, and you're like, no. Yes.
Listen, that's when I started to not understand half an hour television, because The Critic would come on at 9:30 and then it'd start. And I'd be like, oh, nice. And then at 9:35, there's a commercial. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. Like, hold on. This don't make no sense.
You're like, what's happening?
You just started. Why is there two back-to-back commercial breaks and only one joke was told? No. Dateline comes on, no breaks.
Oh my God. All right. Well, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about today. I don't know if everyone's been checking out all these shows. Speaking of all these hoes. I gotta ask, did everyone watch X-Men?
Hell yeah, B. Oh, come on.
Why not?
6 a.m. dog?
Yeah, same. I watched it first thing when I woke up. Yeah. Now I have to ask you guys. This is gonna seem a little controversial.
I think they're watching me because I just got that game working this weekend.
Yeah,
it's true. Oh yeah, I saw you playing.
I
saw it.
That. I thought of you immediately because I know you were playing
it. I thought of me. I was like, wait, am I what?
I was like, oh, this was Skinny was watching. Okay, never mind. I ain't playing nothing.
I have to ask you guys.
Yeah, man.
Now, Skinny.
Yeah, boy.
I feel like we talked about this a little bit on the pod last week.
Oh, boy.
When we discussed that they might be moving at a little too fast, and then you get this episode, and you're just like, y'all crammed all of that story into one episode, the Inferno and the virus, the techno virus, all that one episode.
Yeah.
Then you cram the Mojo World content into half an episode.
But that wasn't worthy of a full episode.
Yeah, but that was gonna be worthy. Yeah, I was about to say.
I was just gonna say. I agree. Not worthy of a full episode. But here's my thought. Why wouldn't you spread Inferno over an episode and a half and then give us the life death at the end of that second half and move Motendo somewhere else? Because I have to say, starting that episode off, I was so annoyed because I was just like, what is this crap? I don't need this half episode.
Because you needed a cooler.
Yeah.
No, you don't need a cooler.
You had three episodes.
I do not agree with
constant,
this.
Just let me finish.
I know. Constant I'm fire. Already saying I don't agree, but go ahead.
No, you have three episodes of you can't be at 100 miles an hour the entire time. So you gave
you should slow to 40, okay?
No, of course, but I will say this though. That that, I guess, at 15 minutes or so, that 15 minutes was the best Jubilee episode in all of the X-Men series.
Yeah, of course it was.
And it was the best adaptation of, because personally, when I watched the original series, okay, there's only two types of episodes that annoyed me. The Jubilee episodes and the Mojo episodes. I liked the first one. The first one was okay, but then I was like, it got stale fast.
I don't remember.
You doing
one.
This? There's a. I know there's two because I remember there's the initial abduction, and then I think there's one specifically because there's one where
Spiral, where she meets Loki, where she meets a long shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I was really surprised because I thought Spiral was no longer with Mojo, but that's a whole other conversation.
They're gonna do that.
Yeah, see. But
yeah.
I was like, you took two concepts of things I don't like.
Yeah.
You made it a good Jubilee episode. You show that she'll finally get good powers. At least now she's realizing she has abilities that are beyond just sparkles.
Yeah, yeah. The blade thing that her and future her were doing, dope.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Her episode was good. I don't want it at the beginning of a story. It didn't feel like it was the right place for it because it really did feel like you were saying, you can't go 100 the whole time, fine. But don't scroll me to a halt with 40. Like, I felt like if I had gotten an episode of an and a half of Inferno and then got the pivot where I slowed down with Life Death, which felt like a more natural, and then Life Death has a cliffhanger, and then I get Motendo and something else, and then I get Life Death 2, that feels flow-wise to me better. I haven't seen what's going to happen after Life Death 1. I don't know what the next episode is or how it starts. I know what an episode title is, but I don't know how it starts off. But it's just flow-wise, that felt so abrupt to me to jump from like what we had to, hey, it's Jubilee's 18th birthday. Oh, sugar, you know, have a good day. She goes upstairs, sits on a bed. Next thing you know, we're in Mojo, and it's a 15-minute, like, what's the Adult Swim episode? Like,
yeah, it was just so short. Well, I find one thing that they should have done instead of like making it officially half one episode, half the other, they should have just called it Motendo / Life Death.
And
I would have just mixed it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would have actually started with Life Death.
Yes.
And I would have ended with Life Death.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
That's how I would have done that.
Dave,
but that's
you just hit the home run. If you had done that, I would have enjoyed that episode way more. I really felt that giving me this condensed 15-minute one Jubilee and Sunspot story that I kind of just, it was good. And agreed, you get to see her power set for the future. You get a whole bunch of information about her, her evolution as a character. You understand she's 18 now. Cool story. But yeah, I agree with you. Splice that up, man. Put it throughout, pepper it in. Get like you do a normal episode. You have an A story and a B story. Why did you guys decide to do a, like, B story as the first half of the episode and the A story as the second half of the episode? Skinny.
I'll argue that neither were good enough to split up that the scenes that they would split them into would be not coherent, but just literally good enough. Like, Jubilee, there's no really way to split Jubilees where it would be like, oh, this is something that's going to keep me hanging, and then going into Storm and Forge eating chili. Like, legit.
Real talk. That's fair.
The life death story, the comic life death is actually quite boring. And the art isn't Silvestri. It's some other dude who normally does New Mutants, who was wild artistic, and then he decided to work on this, and it was just super boring. Like, just like, hey, Storm, come with me. I'll take care of you. Storm's reluctant. He's like, let me show you these horses. Let me show you nature. Hey, I'm supposed to be a shaman, but I decided to do technology. Fuck that shaman shit. La, la, la. And then the fucking...
Hold on. Fuck that shaman shit. I'm going to do technology.
That's legit what the dude does. Forge's whole upbringing from his ancestor / his pops was like, listen, you're a shaman. You're going to do this. Your whole existence, your whole being, your point is to take care of the adversary. You got to do that. Forge is like, nah, gonna go to Nom instead.
And the adversary is the owl we see, or the like owl monster we see at the end of Life Death. Okay,
right. Cool. So that's an actual character. I thought for the longest time, I thought, I was like, oh, is that gonna be Shadow King?
I said
Shadow King like four times to myself. Yeah, like Shadow King.
Yeah. I was convinced that they were giving us a version of Shadow King. But, it felt like, because especially the way they were depicting the character has in the past and in the comic book come across as Shadow King. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very Shadow King.
Feeds off fear and all this good stuff. But not really, right. It's the adversary and you know, Forge.
And the adversary for us who don't know is a...
Adversary is literally like an old chain or I'm not going to insult Forge's native tribe, but where it's like their chaos god. And he's essentially not a good thing to be around. He literally just feeds off chaos, wants to rule the world. End to end, what ends up happening is that eight X-Men and Madeline Pryor end up sacrificing their lives on live television.
Oh,
and man. Through a spell that Forge does to seal this guy away. And then a goddess named Roma shows up and says, appreciate what y'all did. I totally dig the whole giving up your life thing, except for we need this nigga for the whole balance of the universe thing. So here's what I can do for you. We can keep him trapped. You all can go back to your lives to exactly where you met this guy and nothing happened and nobody saw you die and everything's good. Or I can have y'all show up somewhere completely different. Everybody still thinks you're dead. And just as an added bonus, you can't be detected by any kind of electrical radar systems. So, yeah.
And then
they decide to do that. Havoc is like, you know what? Let's start taking names and kicking ass. And they're like, yeah, I'll quit. And then Outback X-Men. That's what happened.
So he wanted to...
Yep. That's a lot.
That is one of the wildest, most ridiculous decisions as a team they could have ever made.
They're like, we could be alive or we could just die in front of all the people we love. That's why the first five X-Men, X-Factor, they see them die and they think they're dead. And that's why when they reunite in Inferno, it's a big like, oh, snap, you niggas are alive? Except for
Cyclops thought his brother was dead that whole time.
Everybody was dead.
And this was Havoc's idea that, like, you know what, I have a family, but we're good.
They all agreed, but that was Havoc's like main point. He's like, listen, we've been taking hits like mad people. Literally, they went through Mutant Massacre, they went through Fall of the they've been taking hits. So they're like, taking hits. Let's go underground and go on the offense. And they were like, yeah, Wolverine's like, I'm down. Psylocke's new. Colossus like, listen, I can't turn into a human.
Wolverine was on the team at the time?
It was Wolverine, Psylocke, Storm, Rogue, Dazzler, Longshot. Who am I forgetting? Dazzler, Longshot, Havoc? Colossus, and there's eight of them. So I'm missing.
You said Havoc.
Okay, yeah, Havoc.
Yeah.
I didn't say Havoc. So yeah.
But, Colossus. And yeah, then, but they can't do that now.
That's a crazy team, because that would
mess up the order of things, right?
Exactly. Like, this is why I was complaining last week.
Yeah,
because you need to do everything in order for this shit to make sense. Because it was at that point when the mutants died that X Factor, the original five, at the time they were posing as like mutant exterminators, but actually they saved mutants. At that point when the other X-Men died, Cyclops and them were like, nah, fuck this. We're the main team now. We're the gang. So like Archangel was Archangel, Beast turned into Blue Beast, Jim Lee started drawing, and they started looking gangster.
Yeah,
it was like it was dope. They were hardcore, but yeah, I don't know how they're gonna do this now, boy.
I mean, we know we already know, again, Bo is a fan. So, you know, at the end of the episode when I saw written by Bo, I had a moment of just like, Bo, this is the only time I think I'm going to say you slipped up. But ultimately, again, though, I can't even say that full-heartedly because the episode is good. Yeah. I just don't like the flow. I genuinely felt like you kind of stopped dead from a really high energy. And I really felt that Jubilee episode felt like I watched people doing the work in the week, and this was their weekend. Like, this was like
weekend OT.
Yeah, this is like,
oh, we got to get this episode out.
This
is blue and gold team.
We got to get this episode out. Goddamn,
that was the vibe for me for a sec when I was watching that. Like this morning when I'm watching it. You know, first thing in the morning, I wake up, I looked at my phone, and then watched the episode because I was like, this is the only chance I'm going to have to watch this episode. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, like, I had some water, used the washroom, come to bed, turn it on, watching it, and I'm just like, this shit ain't waking me up. Like, I was mad. I was like, this is what I'm waking up to. Like,
but again, it could also be the concept that, like, maybe they're bringing it down a notch because, like, again, you can't stay at that type of level the whole time. Because then imagine there are bangers every single episode, and then you're committed for two other seasons. You got to keep that for two other seasons, or else you're gonna like fall off. Like,
yeah, they haven't even gotten into Magneto ripping off Wolverine's adamantium yet. Like, they got stories.
I don't think they're gonna do that on the show later.
They will never. If they get to like season four, they might. But yeah, listen, like, this might be their cash cow. They might push it. If they're flying through the 80s stories by episode form, you know what I mean? Like, if they did Inferno, that's super long in a half an hour episode, we're coming up to Fall of the Mutants with Life Death, which is Life Death. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. What's a season finale's episode called? It's called Extinction. Tolerance is Extinction, which to me,
episode thing too, right? It's like a 90 minutes, it's gonna be like a movie almost.
Yeah, and it sounds exactly like Extinction Agenda.
Google it
if you guys want to know. Extinction Agenda is some crazy shit, but really full, like those three parts. Here's what they're gonna do. First part is gonna be actually Mutant Massacre. Gambit's gonna turn on the team. Yeah, they got numbers, like numbers are dwindling. Cyclops and Jean are at the UN. You know something's gonna happen where they're gonna be there for a minute. Yeah. Nightcrawler comes in. They've already showed Colossus, so he might have to come back. They might have to call up some people because shit might get real.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they already, because in this, I don't know if you guys have been noticing, but they've been slightly tweaking the intro every time.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And in this one, the last two times they've kept the Cyclops like looking at the Phoenix. So there's always the suggestion that there's going to be some form of that coming back. But this time it was, you saw Forge with X Factor for split second. So I was there. I'm like,
and they showed the team on his wall in that picture. Like, they panned over that slowly so that you really got to see the team on the wall behind him when
they might have done it so that okay, there was an X Factor before, but there was a government liaison team through Val Cooper. So what they may have done is that X Factor existed prior, like the X Factor that we know from 90s. They broke up because Forge left the government or whatever. Mm-hmm. Another X Factor may get formed later on, but for now we don't know where Havoc, Strong Guy, Polaris, all those people are, and those people play a big part in whatever sagas come next. So
Multiple Man too, right?
Multiple Man is eventually the leader, but like that's not in the 80s or even in the 90s. He becomes leader like
2000. No, but I mean, Multiple Man is on the team because he was.
Oh yeah,
he was present.
He was present.
He's supposed to be at Muir Island right now. So if they find a way to refix this and do this all up, Extinction or is existence or what a tolerance is Extinction, I really feel like it's going to be Mutant Massacre first. Then they're going to do Extinction Agenda with Simon Podge or Calvin. Is it Calvin Hodge? One of the Hodges, I believe, who basically goes from human to turning himself half cyborg. He actually takes over Genosha. Boom. That's how I know they're going to do that. Because this guy takes over Genosha and turns it into like a total slave camp. And then finally, the third part is probably going to be the ending of Life Death, where Adversary is like, hey, y'all, while you were doing that, I was trying to kill everybody. So what you going to do about me?
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, they're going to get hit hard, bro. Hit hard.
Nice. I mean, I'm excited for all the stories that they can do.
Yeah,
obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we've been saying, we are big fans. We are expecting them to do some dope with this. I don't know why I just didn't love this one as much as I expected to. I'm adding this to the stage for us.
Okay. I truly think it's because
we're just talking about it.
The only thing I would say that is the downfall of this episode, and this is my personal take, I'm not disregarding any of what you guys are saying. I just think they should have done it like a la how they always do. They should have just cut up this. They shouldn't have made, yes, put it half-half, but just because I know why they said the half-half, because they're trying to make Jubilee not a B character.
Right.
That's always been the problem with Jubilee, right? Like, and even in the comic books, she's always like a B, right? You're trying to make her not a B. But if you wanted to do that, you should have done that vis-a-vis mixing up the episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mixing up the stories, I should
say. The flow,
You think they're going to do Roberto and those guys join Generation X instead of the New Mutants?
Cannonball and stuff?
Yeah, because I don't see them. I don't see Jubilee joining New Mutants.
Well, this is.
You read? So it's like.
Yeah, this
is. You're going to make a secondary team. They kind of have
Jubilee and Longshot fighting Mojo, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, it's Mojo. Yeah.
Yeah. So already Longshot's on in the episode. And is this a flashback to the last time?
I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Okay. Notice with these flashbacks, they're showing these characters. So like if they show Longshot, I mean, just bring him on. Call him.
I mean, I feel like this is a nod to what you were saying, Skinny. Like when you're saying Morph hasn't seen these characters, where did he see these characters and how did he see these characters? I feel like these intros are almost a way for them to sneak in moments that have happened in the past from a different perspective. Where it's just like, oh, you saw this episode, but this was also happening in this episode in a way that you never noticed before. Because did we see this exact moment?
No, but kind of like they're animating it better.
It was very, it was a very similar moment back in the original,
right?
Original back in the day.
Oh man, X Factor looks good too. Wow, like, they took the time to draw them just to not show them. Yeah. That's some bullshit, huh?
Because all these were memory, like they're memory clips, right?
Yeah,
like if you want to see this,
like, one thing I like.
Oh, sorry, go on.
I was gonna say I like how with the Bishop part, that's like the way
this like, that
definitely happened in the comic, and then not the comic but the cartoon.
Yeah,
and yeah, here is where, what was it? Bobby was trying to like, yo, come back with us, Polaris.
Blah, blah, Havoc, blah. Havoc,
oh my
gets
god,
hurt.
Havoc! And
she's like, Havoc.
Yeah, she's just with her new man, and he's like, okay, well,
I got this
relationship's
point.
Done.
Yeah, that's over. Oh well, which is exactly what went down in the comics. They were together for a brief stint. Havoc, man, Havoc just needs to. He's Mr. Steal Your Girl. I swear to God.
How many girls does he steal?
What do you mean? He stole Polaris. He steals a Madeline Pryor by not steal. He basically
that's
like, oh,
fucked
what,
up.
What my brother don't want you? I'll take you, Madeline. I love you. And she's like, all right, nigga, fine.
Whatever. I'll take Cyclops version 2.0. Why not?
Yeah, right. Last thing I'll say before I bounce is, I cannot remember quite. I had it fully articulated before, and I can't quite get it. But all to say, this episode was a good little breather. I liked it. I like what they're about to do if they end up doing it that way. I like how they're trying to give Jubilee more of a thing to do, if that's anything to me, you know, if that makes sense.
But
upping the powers, man, you need to do that for you have to do it with all the characters. It's important
because Jubilee originally on the original show was supposed to be the avatar for the kids, right?
Yeah.
The avatar, yeah, the viewer doesn't know anything
first
about
it. You're connecting to the story through even in the comic books, when they did Amalgam Comics, for example, and they crossed over DC with Marvel, they did the major comic crossover was Jubilee and Robin. And Robin was added because they needed kids to have a way into Batman.
Wow.
Like you as a child were supposed to feel like you were Robin. You were Batman's sidekick. You were looking up to Batman as he did stuff.
Same with Bucky.
But did she ever get with Sunspot?
No, never. That's not.
I didn't like that. That's the one. I'll say that I didn't like about the episode.
I mean,
like,
he needs to do something.
You've been doing that. You've been suggesting it, but like, no.
Yeah.
Does she date in the? She does date someone, doesn't she?
No, she just has a kid randomly that ends up being turned into a dragon. Nobody.
Really?
Just has a baby.
No one.
She just has a baby. Legit.
She chills with Wolverine, but other than that, like Wolverine's like, okay.
She had an immaculate birth and no one is talking, and then turned into a vampire, and that's
She turned into a vampire first, had the baby. Dude is like, no, that's my baby. She's like, no, Shogo's mine. Shogo can turn into a dragon. Shogo's like, I'm staying with her. Yeah.
She had an immaculate conception? Yo,
I don't think she ever gave birth to the baby. Like, that's just her baby. Like, she just took the baby. Mom just teased it. Took her baby. Last fun fact, because I do remember now. If you run back the intro, notice how Jean has her ponytail back.
Yeah.
So that will tell you that season 4 Jean was not Jean at all.
Yeah, so a lot of that people are saying, I've seen a few theory videos, screen crush.
Of course, that guy has no.
Because I said Screen Rant last week. By the way, apologies to anyone who watched that and I made the mistake. But Screen Crush, Homeboy was saying him and another video that I watched were both saying that it happened during the wedding, because something happens during the wedding
and then
she disappears, and then all of a sudden. And that would also kind of make sense as to why this version always thought her hair was supposed to be down, because she just doesn't know she's supposed to have her hair up.
But I saw a version that I liked where they said Sinister did this, because Sinister at the end of season 4, I think, he was stealing all the psychics for Apocalypse, right?
Yep. Right?
So he's,
that was supposed to be the season finale or series.
Yeah.
Finale.
So he was, they suggested that it was then while he steals her.
Right.
He makes the clone and he gives Apocalypse the clone.
Oh,
and sure. Then he keeps Jean. And I'm like, that is
that's
the
good theory.
That is the best theory in the sense of like, it would make sense with how everything, it even makes sense based off of like where the memories stop and begin for Jean. When she's like, I can't remember and this and that. So makes sense.
I'm not mad at my theory.
That's a theory I like. Out of the ones I've seen so far, I'm like, that's the one that I'm like, I'll take. I'm using that as the way to the solace for my brain.
Do you think
I'm done doing the puzzle?
Do you think they'll ever actually show us exactly when the swap happened?
If they get season three, yeah, they don't have time for that shit.
only if story require. Basically, only if Madeline Pryor comes back and they do an actual story arc to like uncover her stuff. But
last thing, sorry. All the Phoenix they keep showing. All the Phoenix they keep showing. Rachel makes a big appearance in this era. If they don't show Rachel,
yeah,
they got to show Rachel, which is the actual legitimate child of Jean and Scott in the future.
See, right.
Cable is Madeline Scott.
Yeah.
Rachel is Jean and Scott. So she's right. Like legit. Jean and her have this whole awkward, like, listen, girl, you're not my kid. Like, this is weird. You're from the future. You have the same power as me. You can hold in the Phoenix. Relax. Like,
But Jean and her have a weird relationship. Oh,
they had a good relationship, and then like Jean was just like, nah, and then it was just really weird. Rachel hates her dad. Jean and her like whatever, and then finally like,
they got. Did they ever explain what happened to Rachel? Like what her time? Because isn't Rachel who? So who's
she? Was a hound. She was a hound. So she was used to hunt other mutants.
Right.
By Ahab.
Right. That's Ahab. What I remember.
Yeah.
And then who is Hope's parents?
Hope's parents are. Technically, Hope, just Cable.
Because
who gave birth to her? She's just a spontaneous birth baby, like Shogo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like someone delivered Hope, and Cable's the one that raises her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like cool. She was a spontaneous birth, and I think the mom died during birth. Whatever.
Yeah, she's like
and
a spontaneous mutation. The way all of them were spontaneous mutations. Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Saying even in the future, we haven't solved like, you know, women's death when they give birth. Like, jeez. Oh,
Disney went all the way that far.
Or is it just that perilous in the future where it's just like, oh, you gotta have a birth like in a quiet place. Can't say anything because the Sentinels are out because Nimrod's running around killing us. So, you know?
A quiet place was such a wild, unfortunate
but you know what I mean, right?
Like, yeah. Putting a baby in a box with an oxygen tank, like that is some depressing you have to do. I still look forward to the new movie, though. I'm excited.
That was the most odd input, like, just hush.
Hey, we're talking about A Quiet Place. You get quiet. That's what it is. Honestly, if you, I saw A Quiet Place in a theater in Toronto, and no, you didn't have to be that quiet in the theater, because it's not like if we made noise, the monsters were going to hear. But the whole theater, people weren't even opening cans. Like, you just saw people, like, just watching the movie.
That could be a gateway. Fuck that.
It was so funny. Like people were
the world happening to you live.
Listen, if the world and mind of Wes Craven can come to film and that's something that people think of, I'm not putting anything past these niggas. Everybody crazy.
All right. Skinny, as always, I know you have to head out, thank you for the X-Men insight, because I really do appreciate how much you know about the X-Men stuff, because I generally do not know anywhere near as much. So
my time has come finally.
Yeah. This is when you, it's a vibe to actually feel like you know everything that's happening next, which is a lot of fun. So
I remember like some of the stuff I know is just through like cards, and I'm trying to piece stuff together.
Right.
Like, Cable's the son. What are you talking about?
So what I did, Wendell, was I lived exactly like you. Then I got the internet, and a lot of 3 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock in the mornings happened with Wikipedia.
I remember one of my best friends, he used to read all the comics, all the X-Men stuff. His thing was specifically X-Men and X-Factor. And as soon as he showed me the Summers family tree, I was like, nah, peace out. I ain't
doing that.
And I'm like, nope.
The Summers family tree must be a mess.
X-Men, what? Get out of here. I'm done.
Lovely.
It's too complicated.
Too much, Jerry. It's too much.
I'm actually going to pull up the family tree, because now that you've mentioned
ridiculous.
I remember And the best part is the article, the image is on a website. On the website, it's called Untangling the Untangling the family tree, which is such a crazy thing. No. Like, why would we have to untangle it?
Because it's a ridiculous web.
You heard exactly what Skinny said.
I can't even think of a more convoluted, well, not convoluted, but more like complex family tree in any form of literature.
In this timeline, this is their kid. But in this other timeline where Apocalypse wins, that's their kid. But then he comes back and then...
Let's put it the way. The easiest ones to differentiate are Rachel and Cable. And it's because the easy version of it is because, Cyclops had sex with his wife and then a clone of his wife. Like, that's the easiest one to remember. Like...
Okay, wow. So... Deborah Summers and Philip Summers give birth to Christopher Summers, aka Corsair, who is the space pirate dad of Havoc and Scott, and Vulcan, who was part of that secret group that we learned about, that Skinny explained was this like middle group that got sent to try and save some people, but ultimately got erased, it seems. Cyclops, and then you have John Grey and Ellen Grey, who have Jean Grey. Cyclops and Jean Grey have Cable, Cyclops and Jean Grey have, where's Rachel? Rachel's here. So Rachel is under family in the future and family across realities.
There you go. You see what I mean? You see exactly what I mean.
So, and then you have the red connection, which is family by cloning. Say what?
What is red? What does the red line mean? What's the red connection?
That's what I was explaining.
Oh, sorry.
So, red is family by cloning. So Nate Grey, who I imagine is a clone of Cable?
Yes.
Right. But then you also have Nathaniel Summers Strife and Nathaniel Summers Cable.
Yes.
Nate Executioner is supposed to be clone from Jean and Cyclops.
Sorry.
X-Men is a clone from Jean and Cyclops. They take Jean and Cyclops' DNA and then they make X-Men in Age of Apocalypse.
He's made fully. He's not even.
I believe so.
And right. Then I think Strife.
Strife is a clone of Cable. Okay.
He's a clone of Cable, and I don't think he has the virus.
No,
or
he does not.
He doesn't have this. Which makes him significantly more powerful than Cable, which is part of the story, right?
Yeah. As part of Executioner's Song, if I remember right.
And then I gotta ask you guys, and so Jean, so here on this thing it says White Queen Emma Frost and is it supposed to be that Cyclops? Do Emma Frost and Cyclops have a kid?
Straight up, Cyclops? Yes. You know, like, he keeping it
tight. So what happens is Jean finally, like, dies.
Yes, yeah.
He finally dies. And then it seemed like what was going on was Emma Frost and Scott were having an affair telepathically and stuff like that. So when Jean dies... He's finally like, okay, I could be out in the open with Emma.
Right.
And there's a scene with Wolverine standing over. He's standing over the bed. Scott's asleep with Emma Frost in his bed. And then Wolverine's over his bed, in his face, and saying like, wow. He's at the foot of the bed. And he's like, wow, the grieving process is pretty quick with you, huh, Scott? And he's like, get the hell out of my room. He's like, nah, man, you're being disrespectful to Jean's memory. And he's like, well, if you're not going to get out of the room, I'm going to make you get out of the room. Cut, next panel. Wolverine's getting optic blasted out of the room. Yeah. The
So, because I've never heard of Ruby Summers in my life.
I haven't either, but if they did have a kid, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't
the ones I'm not. How is Franklin Richards involved with Rachel Gray?
Because
Rachel Gray and Franklin Richards have Hyperion together. Sorry.
Or Hyperstorm. Hyperstorm. Jonathan Richards, which I'm understanding is either. They had a kid together, or they cloned, because again,
no, that one is said by blood based off of your diagram here. So that means they had the sexes.
No, so
the sex.
Oh yeah, you're right. The lion is black, but family by blood. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
I don't understand how Adam.
Who's Adam X? Yeah,
he's extreme. If I'm not mistaken, he's the guy who boils blood. Is he the guy who boils blood?
I can't remember what I remember what he looks like. He looks ridiculous. He looks hella 90s thrash metal.
Yeah.
Braids coming down, like blades coming out of his shoulders, kind of nonsense. He looks really really silly.
All right. Well, guys,
Even with a diagram, it's complicated.
I told you, honestly, I didn't lie.
I believe you. I think the thing that my favorite is, you have a description. So black is by blood, purple is by adoption, blue is family in the future, red is family by cloning. I don't know why you wouldn't use red for blood, because that just makes sense to me in my
head. But then the whole thing would be red, and I just weird.
I'm down. It makes more using black for blood and red for cloning confused because I thought. But anyways,
well, it makes sense because the two red ones are technically bad guys. No, Goblin becomes a bad guy for a bit, and Strife is a straight up arc bad guy.
So family by cloning is Madeline Pryor and Nathaniel Summers, who are full on just clones of other characters.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so funny though that so in the X-Men universe, a clone has a baby that they cloned. So Strife has the worst DNA. Strife is I don't understand how he's so powerful. Because if you make a copy of a copy off of a copy, to me, back in those days, remember when you used to make a copy and they'd be like, that's just going to degrade over time, son.
Well, hey, man, Mr. Sinister made it work. He's perfected it. And, he didn't infect it with the virus. So it's just, I could use my whole powers. It's just going this way.
Yeah.
It's not got to contain this.
What powers did Tyler, Nate's son, have? Do you have any?
Genesis?
I saw that. Yeah,
Genesis. I don't know who Genesis is. We'd have to look him up.
Well, you saw him briefly. It's funny because the only reason why I even know him is because of the original X-Men animated show. Because you see he's running. It's during the episode where it's one of the first times you see Cable and Apocalypse is destroying the timeline. So everything's going away. And Cable comes to our time because his son disappears in front of him. And that's when he grabs Wolverine and makes Wolverine get sick so that he could get the antibodies to save everybody.
Oh,
that's how he fixes the future.
Yeah, so, he's Cable's reaction was just I'll just go back in time and save my son. He's whatever. Not whatever. He's no, my son, oh my god. And he's
okay,
go back in time.
I'll read his power set. So Tyler Dayspring, attributes, powers, empathic memory projection. Tyler's mutant power enables him to empathically sense the memories of others. He could then form a psionic link with another consciousness and visually project those memories as a solid hologram in a manner somewhat similar to Mirage. Ability: Genesis was trained in a military tactic, guerrilla warfare, and other combat disciplines. I'm not really sure how his power is beneficial in combat, but
he sounds mid.
Yeah. That sounds
mid. Sorry. For Summer's gray family tree. He sounds like the black sheep of the family. So
yeah. So his you know how they have the power grids? The power grid on a scale of tilt. The power grid goes till 10, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this way. Basically, 90% of the family. Sorry, 99% of the family is Omega. He's the 1%.
Yeah, but that is it. Do you guys remember if the power grid goes to 10? That's what I'm trying to remember.
It's either 8
it
or 10.
It goes to 9, I think.
It goes to 9? Okay.
I think it does go to 10, but for the most part, everyone's 9. Because if everyone goes to 10, and you're just that's too much.
Because his intelligence, his strength, his speed, and his durability are all 2s.
So he's normal.
Yeah, 2, I guess so. He's
basically normal. That's
fucking. And his energy projection and fighting skills are 4. How are you going to say he was trained in military tactics and guerrilla warfare, but you a 4? The disrespect. The disrespect.
So he's above average.
It goes up actually to 7, or the old cards go up to 7.
Oh, okay. So 4 out of 7 is not that bad then. Four out of seven is higher than 50%. Okay, so he's hitting a 60.
He's mid.
Yeah. You know what? You did say it. Yeah. You did say from rip, you said he's mid.
There you go. Can't get more mid than that.
Can't get more mid than that. What else do we got, dudes? We got I really want to see this Godzilla. I'm so sad that I didn't. I was gonna maybe try and see it last night.
It's still out. It just came out.
No, I know, but my part, I'm saying you saw it and I wanted to talk to you about it, but I didn't get to see it. So now I feel like I missed out because
you want me to hold off, or
I mean, if you can give me a week, because I will do my best to see it this weekend, if that's
I'll
okay.
I'll give you a week. I'll give you a week.
Do you want to talk more about Dune though? Because you said saw that you also wrote that you saw Dune. How did you feel about Dune? Because we've talked, like Janessa and I talked about it. You guys weren't here and we did a segment about it. I don't know if you guys got to see the segment, but
I got to see. I didn't get to see. Yeah. I saw part of the segment.
I didn't get to see it. Sorry.
But Dave, have you talked about Dune 2 since that episode?
Nope.
No. Okay.
I don't know if y'all want to hear me. No. On this Dune. Is a
perfect. Then you go first.
No. This is a perfect opportunity to discuss it because now there's two of you that have
seen. I remember. Yeah, we did talk about it, Dave, but not on the show.
Yeah, so Dave.
Dude, you know what? Dune is Tyler Summers.
Wow. He's saying it's mid. Saying it's mid in a nice way.
I'm just going to say it. Go for it. Is it better than the first? And so I heard you guys say that you thought it was better than the first. And
No. I said.
You said the first was better than the second. Yes, I wildly disagree.
In my opinion, the first.
Yeah, of course. And I'm saying in my opinion, obviously. Yeah, I'm not saying like, because I'll say this. First of all, I was slightly annoyed because when I watched it, I'm like, I didn't need to watch a 2.5 hour movie before this movie to be able to understand this movie.
So okay.
That made me a little annoyed. Because I said to my, because a lot of my friends were like, you're being really critical about this. I'm like, I appreciate the fact that Dune itself is before everything that we know. Like Dune is like a foundation piece, for a lot of our stuff. I appreciate that.
Dune, what's the other one? 10,000 Valerian 10,000 leagues, Valerian and the 10,000 something.
Oh, so I know what you're talking.
Planets or something like that. Yeah. The other one that what's his name? Bisset.
Yes,
the French director did.
Yeah, but supposedly those Luc two. Besson. Those two films and those two original comics are like OG books,
literatures, I guess.
Yeah, lyrics. Yeah. They weren't comics. They were literature.
I think 10,000 was a comic. I don't think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll say this. I told my friends, I'm like, if I watch this movie and then because this movie, I appreciate the first, I will take back everything I said about the first. Because the only thing I always said about the first one is I thought. And again, maybe it's because we've also absorbed a lot of content doing this show for like what I don't X amount of episodes, how many years? But I didn't like the I didn't like the first one only because for me it was too predictable. For me.
All right. Yeah.
But for a lot. When I watch this, I'm like, wait, you're not making me care that much more for the first one. It's not changing. What I will say is this, and sorry for spoilers for anyone else who's watched, I feel like we're past that. Yeah. I was like, I was enjoying it. And then when I got to the end, I got super annoyed because I was like, when he's like, I will love you forever. I'm like, why does he keep this? The only time I kept on being like, why does he keep saying that? And then he's like, yo, I'm going to marry this bitch. I'm like, oh, it's because you're openly telling her that you're going to dump her ass. And she's not getting it.
I don't think he was dumping her.
For the better of mankind, he was.
Yeah, I think he was making clear to her, no matter what I say in this moment, like he was making clear, I love you and I will always love you. But and I agree with you. It would have been nice had he said, I have to do something for the better of the universe. But instead, he just says, I love you, and immediately turns around and does the thing that will help save the universe, quote unquote, but doesn't explain to the person, hey, I'm marrying the daughter of the emperor to consolidate power so that we can try and have an easier transition in this really tumultuous time.
Because her side,
I always bring it back to Louis C.K.'s show. And in the first season, you clearly kind of see his ex-wife is white. You don't see her. You don't see her face. She's not a character. You just kind of see her skin. And in the second season, she's straight up black. She's straight up the the wife in This Is Us.
Yeah,
that's who it's played by.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, why did you so your car is the same in both seasons, but you recasted your ex-wife as a black woman? He's like, well, I really needed a woman that could give me a look that just says I'm being a dumbass. I'm being a piece of crap right now.
Yeah.
And just don't say it. So like Zendaya has that face. Chani has that face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
In the book, Chani is more forgiving of it.
Yes. Yes.
She's
yes.
More, she's like, okay, well, I'm your concubine. And like, they do their thing, but he has two wives. He has his empress wife and he has his concubine Chani. But in this, what, Villeneuve wanted to do was because he knew when people read the book Dune, they're like, yes, it's a hero story. He had to do that because he's the good guy and he's the blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
He knew that in order to get his revenge, the whole thing he's doing is hella selfish because he wants to get revenge for his dad. And he tells Chani that I want, the only thing I care about is revenge right now.
But yeah,
I don't want to go to the South because if I do, then I'm going to start the whole thing, the whole process of me going on that
route. I've been trying to explain to people, though, I understand because some people don't seem to get how you can have, and I think I mentioned this, did I mention it last week? Like, you can't have a white savior story without having a white savior. The same way you can't tell a time travel story without having time travel. And even if you're commenting on the fact that it's a white savior, you still have a white savior in the story. Even if the white savior is doing it for selfish reasons, from the perspective of the Freeman in the movie, this man with atomic bombs has come to help them fight against their oppressors and has said to them he's going to help empower them. From their perspective, that is a savior.
But yeah, also on he top does of that, that though.
Yeah.
But also on top of that, Paul, he also says, no, I'm not. I'm literally, like, he literally spells it out for him. I am not.
Oh yeah.
I'm not your savior.
Oh, for sure.
It's just lies.
Like,
and you're like, oh no. He's so humble.
Exactly. Like Stilgard says, and Stilgard is doing what every other character in all of these stories does when someone is a white savior and says, oh, I'm not, I'm just a humble servant. And these people are just like, oh yes, the savior. Too humble to accept the crown of power.
But within this version of the movie, there's a clear divide. And you know follow that.
Yeah, it
was and good. Shani's part of the faction that does not believe. Yeah. Like, no, we should be the ones that free ourselves. He can help, but he's not. Like, what are you doing? And so at the end of it.
I thought that was good.
In the book, she's like, okay, she's more understanding. And also his mom, like, helps her understand more, so it's not as like clear, like as drastic as it is where the mom's like, let's take advantage of this. So in this new version, which is the Denis Villeneuve version, he wants to like really get across to everybody before you leave the theater that this is a tragedy. Paul is a tragic figure. He's not doing this for the better of anyone except himself. He's thinking about himself solely.
Holy
and Shani's so pissed at what his decision is that she pieces out. She's like, no, I'm not, yeah, she doesn't I'm not even about this.
Him. Yeah.
She doesn't go with him.
Cause she like, also, no. She also says that she also puts that line in the sand in the movie though.
And she also does not bow.
No. Right. Which I thought was great. Yes.
If you pay attention, everyone's bowing and she's still standing. She's like, what the, no. And
she even what's his name had to pull her down when she stood up.
So that's during the meeting in the South.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know you're talking and, about the end, but I'm talking
at the end
because it's multiple times she made the point, and I think Villeneuve did a good job of using her to make the point. I will not bend the knee to you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. See, that's the thing. Again, I like this film. I just didn't like it more than the first one.
Sorry, go on. I didn't mean to.
No, sorry. Jaws is the one that I wanted to let continue because he just said me too. So I wanted you to make.
Yeah, I really liked the visuals, the color, just like I loved how you go to the Harkonnen, Gendi Prime, and they have a black sun.
Yeah.
So anytime you're outside. It's just infrared. It's all weird. It's just
Did you hear how they filmed that?
Grayscale.
Did I send you guys the clip? Did I send you guys a clip of where Denis Villeneuve is explaining how his DP came to him and was like, hey, this is my idea for how to do this. And that's how they got those like really intense colors and like or inverted colors and stuff. They used infrared cameras. They had to redo some of the costumes to really get that kind of negative like black sun effect. That's why like when he opens his mouth,
it's all like, black. His teeth are all black.
Yeah. It was really cool. Super cool.
I also like their fireworks. They're all like
The oil, oil thing. Yeah.
And I do like how, the Bene Gesserit. They're just like, you go get pregnant by that dude. And they're like, wait, Reverend Mother, why didn't you go? And she's like, well, he killed his mom. I'm more of a motherly figure. I'm not getting near that psychopath. Nah. I'll send you to Pretty Woman.
Oh my god. No.
So I think also the other revelation that I don't think that's hinted at in the movie. And it's for you to kind of put the pieces together.
Yeah.
Lady Jessica's mom is the Reverend Mother of the Bene Gesserit.
Oh.
Yeah.
So because, Jessica. Wait.
Jessica, who is the daughter of the Harkonnen.
Yeah.
And is the daughter of the Bene Gesserit?
Is the Bene Gesserit. Yeah. Reverend Mother.
I did not know. So Peter Atreides' grandparents are both these horrible people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus.
So because, and the reason like it's hinted and it's kind of there, but it's not there. It doesn't tell you outright.
Definitely did not.
Because Jessica is telepathically talking with her daughter in her womb. Right.
Right.
Bene Gesserit don't really have a telepathic powers, but I guess they're able to talk to their own prodigy. So then all of a sudden at the end where she's telepathically talking to the other Bene Gesserit person, it's hinting that that's her mom, and they because of the water of life, or worm piss,
worm piss.
She's able, and she has all the like the memories of everybody, and she's able to talk to her, kind of thing.
And is that mentioned in the book?
I think so. I was watching I was watching all the memes. Like as soon as I finished watching the movie, because I got in late, I was like, okay, let me get in on all the memes and stuff like that.
That's wild. I didn't know that. Okay, so that's so speaking of family trees, we looked at the Cyclops one, but my God, Paul Atreides' family tree is probably gonna be a damn mess too.
Game of Thrones in space, but before Game of Thrones.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the. How many movies do you think they're getting? Because some people
tell me. Well, how many books do they have?
There's a lot of books. Yeah, there's a lot. I think Denis Villeneuve really wanted to do Dune as two movies, and now he's writing the script for Dune Messiah, and so Dune Messiah is supposed to show.
Interesting.
Paul's clan. Oh no, he's the bad guy. He's actually the bad guy.
Right. I didn't expect him to do Messiah, because doesn't Messiah just kind of isn't Messiah an a companion book to make it clear Paul is bad? Because people supposedly when the guy Frank Herbert wrote the book, he said some people thought it was ambiguous that Paul was evil. Even though as much as I understand Paul is evil, I understand how again. From if you are a Freeman, a specific sect of the Freeman, you see Paul as a savior. As a
hero, yeah.
No one else sees Paul as a savior. There's no one
that's
else.
Why, well, that's why the rest of the houses were like, no, we don't accept you as the emperor. Get the hell out of here.
Yes.
And he's like, start the war.
oh my God. I find there's not, that's the one thing I found a little weird with Dune itself is that it doesn't really seem there is good guys. There just seems to be people who are suffering and then those people hurting them.
Well, Dave, there's no good guys in Game of Thrones.
And there's no good guys in real life, I guess, either.
Yeah.
I remember I was watching something where basically, what's his name? Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, he doesn't like Dune. He just hates it. Like, he hates it outright. And it's like, why don't you like Dune?
Good guys? Sorry, I'll let you finish.
Oh, like he doesn't like Dune because he feels the story in it is just so depressing and cynical. Like, just like, no, all these people have all the power in the world. They're just going to abuse the crap out of it. The more power they're trying to amass, they're gonna get more jealous. So the whole point of the emperor, he kills Leto, like, because he was jealous of him. He was like, "Oh, this guy is leading with his heart, and everyone likes him."
But it's just, and it's so messed up too, because he acknowledges that it's just like, man, he's like a son to me, but I don't like that people like him, so let's murder him. Yeah. What the hell, man? Like,
oh, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, that was crazy.
One thing, though, I will say that I found, you know that time, Brian, where you're like, I don't like that there's rules in the universe, so if you're in a room, then the piece of paper survives a burning room.
There are laws of physics and there are laws to the universes you are building. And if you build the laws, you should abide by them. You can't just ignore them. Yes.
So with me saying that, Paul should have died in that last fight. The wounds he obtained in that fight.
Yeah.
He was stabbed. He was impaled twice with blades that could practically go through the other side of his body. He was hit in the abdomen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was hit in the chest. I agree. Not on the heart side, which is debatable because technically they're human-like. They don't necessarily...
No, they're humans. The story is just 10,191.
I feel if I'm stabbed here, where there's plenty of arteries that link to my heart. It's not my heart, but they go to my heart. No, and then I'm stabbed in the abdomen with a blade that could almost go through me first, then
the arm.
I agree what you're saying. He should have been more injured and had a lot more trouble like getting up or continuing after he won the battle.
I was doing a sprint
as opposed to like he's just running to the ship to start war. Yes.
Yeah.
If you really
wanted to be realistic, it'll just look really lame. Like, oh, he won, but he looks all
yeah.
But yeah, you know, because you could have pointed at people and been like, go. But like,
at least if someone had run over to him and done some sciencey, timey-wimey, you know, sciencey thing, you know, because we're in the future.
That would have taken some time.
A future Band-Aid?
You know, like when the head of the Harkonnen house, Sarsgaard's character, I forgot his name. Anyway, the gross dude.
Yeah, yeah.
When he almost died in the first movie, and he had to go in the goop. He had to go into the chemical goop to heal himself.
Yeah.
So then he had like a floating IV or whatever. You know, so
I understand what Dave is saying though. I understand that.
I get it, but I mean we gotta move this along. We're wrapping up. We gotta
All right, Dave.
You wanna stay an extra hour? So he could see him heal up. Let's move it.
I'm just saying, you don't need him to be healed completely, but at least someone run over and address the fact that homeboy is injured.
Put him in a wheelchair. Like, come on, like some.
No. All the trainees being rolled out on a wheelchair to the ship is the least gangster way to lead a war.
No, maybe like a Professor X style.
That is so funny. Professor
X. I enjoyed it. I would like to see it again just to see all the extra stuff I missed while I was watching it.
Yeah.
I thought the fights were really good. I liked that. He did that little flip in the end, that little roll flip. I was like, okay. And I was surprised that they panned back. Again, remember, whenever you're watching a fight scene, you know it's good if they pan back. But they panned back for like maybe two parts. The fight. So I think we're very proud of what they got on film in that. And Butler did a good job. Jeez.
Yeah, Butler
everyone
did.
Everyone was like, this guy scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, Butler
even his own filmmates, even Batista was like, dude was intense, man.
Yeah, he's
I didn't know how tall Timothy Chalamet was. Like, there's a scene where he's getting the water of life from the woman.
Yeah.
And he just looks tall as shit. And I'm like, what the?
Well, that woman was a little person though.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes. I didn't know she was dwarf or anything like that.
Yeah, that woman is a little person because you see when she's talking to the mom and then you see when she's talking to him. I was just, oh, you're a little person. Yeah,
but they pulled back.
Yes, they pulled back.
And you saw it. But when she was like in the water getting the
agreed. Yeah, she looked
proportional. So I didn't know.
Yeah, it was hard to tell based on that. The way they shot it at first, I was just like, oh, this person, because when she got in the water at first, I was like, okay. And then when she got out and was talking to the mom, I was just like, this actress is not that tall. And I was just like, oh, this woman is a little person. Like, you are just a little smaller than the average person. But, yeah. I mean, I like the movie. Again, I still think the first one is better, but that is again a personal opinion.
I would watch both of them. Like if I had a whole day to do nothing, I would just do back to back kind of thing. I need to see the Emissary in the first one with the super dark face on the blue and just shot really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah,
I would have to watch that at 2.5 and you'd have to give me a good meal or something to make me sit there.
I watched the first one and then watched the second one within an hour. Like I left my house, got to the theater and the second and got and like ordered my food in VIP and watched the second one. So for me, it really felt like I did watch them legit back to back, which made for a great experience.
Right. And yeah, I feel like you really definitely should try to watch it in the theater because you need that. You need that whole immersion. You need that all around you kind of thing.
And that might have been the reason why I didn't appreciate the first one as much. Mm. Full transparency. Because I only watched it at home. Mind you, again, I watched it at home. I have a 60-inch TV. So I tried. Because I will, regardless of like my thoughts, I will always say that it is visually nice. Like I'm not gonna pretend it's not. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not even saying it's a bad story. I'm just saying for me, for anyone who's like, why is this guy acting? It's just my side.
Well, everyone's aping Dune, basically.
Yeah.
Especially as when it comes to like people that foresee in the future. Even in Game of Thrones, there's a dude that sees the future. So
yeah. All right, kids, we got that geek news and rumors. We got a bunch of stuff that has been announced. One of them, I feel like we called this. Guys, we called this. Didn't we say they were going to have a woman be Silver Surfer? Didn't we talk about that?
Oh.
And
didn't
we said
want
we,
it, but
we said we didn't want it. We said, you know, there's a lot of different characters you could do. There is a version of Silver Surfer, Shalal Ball, which I think a lot of people were calling that would potentially be the version they would do if they were going to do it because they expected they would want more women in the story or in the cast. And yeah, here we are. This is exactly what people were saying. Shalal Ball is a fictional character that appears in American comic book publisher Marvel Comics, the immortal empress of Zenla and the lover of Norrin Rad, the Silver Surfer, who becomes the herald of Galactus in exchange for his planet being spared. But yeah, she is... and they even said Shalal Ball is voiced by Camilla Scott in the animated series Silver Surfer, while Shalal Ball Silver Surfer will be portrayed by Julia Garner in the live-action MCU film in 2025.
But like, my question is this. So what are you going to do? Galactus is going to come, and it's just instead of it being Norrin Rad, she's just going to step in front of him like, no, take me. Like, how are you? I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm trying to understand it, because in the comic book is the version of her, the version of Shalal Ball that is a Silver Surfer. Are they from an alternate reality?
I'm not sure, but the thing that also weirds me out with some of the images I've seen online, it suggests at one point in time that they're both Silver Surfers. I'm seeing images online where you see both like them together as both silver people.
You're right. Right.
So yeah. Like the whole race or something.
No, it's not. That's the thing. From what I understand. And cause I thought that for a second too, but no, I know that Norrin Rad's race is not specifically silver people.
No.
He gets that Silver Surfer power from Galactus as he becomes the herald to spare his planet. But there does seem to be some sort of story in which she is also granted that same Silver Surfer power, like herald power, and I can't find the exact moment where, heartbroken that they were forced apart, Galactus convinced Norrin to join him in order to save his planet. She pined for him and bemoaned his loss. She's been cloned, confused, dead, and revived. Yeah, like I couldn't find the part where they explained where she became the Silver Surfer. I am, however, going to look into it because I imagine, much like there are so many, because the MCU is a multiverse.
From Dave, what
did you find it?
I found something that where it suggests that she's depicted as joining him and becoming a second Silver Surfer, becoming twin herald. So, because here's the thing, if they do that,
what's the source?
I'm seeing it on Wikipedia personally. which usually, really? So it's saying in the alternate, so an alternate continuity on Earth X slash Universe X.
That's what I was wondering, because
which considering everything they're doing with the multiverses, if that's how they want to do it, if they bring in both, because here's the thing, it's not that I'm like, oh no, Silver Surfer has to be a guy. Like, it's just that for me, it's that you have other clearly other female heralds we've mentioned. I forget them by name. Silver Surfer is not my, or Galactus isn't my favorite guy to read on, but I know there's one herald that's like flame based and stuff like that. You had other options. Yeah. So for me, well, it's like,
We had said if you were going to do one of those ones, there is the Firebird.
Yeah.
Who is the one I believe you're talking about? Mm-hmm. The Firebird is, oh no, the Firebird is a guy, Pyrus Krill. I am trying to find the woman because I know who you're talking about. Let me keep looking.
I know.
Nova. God, that's the fact that I even mentioned it earlier in the episode drives me nuts because I knew her name. Although Reed Richards has prevented Galactus from starving. So Nova is the other one. Frankie Ray offered herself. Yes, Frankie Ray. And she had a relationship with Johnny Storm. Yeah, like, why didn't you just do that? Especially with the fact that you have Nova, you have Johnny Storm in the film, you have an easier way to connect it, you don't have
I feel like maybe in the MCU they don't want to do too many people with the same powers because it'd just be annoying. If they're fighting together, they're like, oh, who's who? Is so like how Kamala doesn't have stretchy arms because Reed Richards is coming up behind the rear and he's going to be Mr. Fantastic. So I feel like they just don't want to have that obvious visual cues, like just being the
but
same
I mean,
thing.
If anything, it's an advantage to have the obvious visual cues, especially if the character is a love interest of the other character. It almost fits perfectly to have a fire flame Nova with a Johnny Storm. It seems
maybe
like
later. Yeah. On. Yeah. Maybe not right off the bat.
I don't know.
People know Silver Surfer more than Nova. Like, see how hard it took us to figure out who it was.
Yeah, but I mean,
Johnny Storm is going through women like crazy. I mean, come on.
But also, once again, you're not even doing the version of Silver Surfer that we know. You're doing an Earth X Universe X version, a comic book that most people I know have not read. I have Earth X Universe X Alex Ross stuff, and I didn't even remember that she's in it. That in of itself is a comment on it. Like, it's not a major story in my opinion.
I feel like they're just trying to now. I would say they're probably trying to like change it up a little bit.
Yeah, but again, this is one of those times where I do find it a little lazy of Marvel to be like, hey, we need more women in this, let's use this alternate version of Silver Surfer that isn't as popular and is far less known, and is also the twin herald, meaning Norrin Radd should still be in the story.
Yeah.
So hopefully, if they're introducing Julia Garner as the Silver Surfer, her version, you're going to introduce Norrin Radd Silver Surfer as well, and we just haven't heard about that casting.
In which case,
I'm happy.
Because you could even do that without even casting anyone, because you could just make them like, hey, baby, like, I'm going to be this side of the universe, you that side of the universe, a nod, and just move
Yeah. You have a moment of them, like, splitting up and heralding, and you don't even cast him yet because you bring him in later.
Yeah. And fun fact, just because I looked at the list of heralds that he's had, just two fun facts. Superman was once one of his heralds, which I found interesting.
Hilarious, okay.
And then the most obscure one I find, in my personal opinion, although Dazzler is a close second, Sabretooth apparently was once one of his heralds, which is just ridiculous.
So he's just giving out herald cards.
He's handing it out.
He's just like, you get a herald card. You get a
Zeopra of the universe.
Seriously, hilarious. Dumb Money director Greg Gillespie tapped for Supergirl movie. So that's they have three directors now. James Gunn, Gillespie, and Andrew. What's his name? Andy Muschietti, the guy who did who's doing The Brave and the Bold.
Okay.
All right. So that's three filmmakers. I don't know how I'm feeling about that, but whatever. I got to say, this guy, so Gillespie directed Disney's Cruella, which I enjoyed. I thought Cruella was very good. He's done I, Tonya, which was very good. I didn't watch Pam and Tommy, but people have said it was fantastic. But unfortunately, his latest project, Dumb Money, is the only weak link from what I'm hearing, because I have not heard good things about Dumb Money. Like most people I've spoken to about that project didn't say anything.
I never even heard of it.
It's basically about the Wall Street bets on Reddit versus the Wall Street, what was it called again? The GameStop.
GameStop.
Stock.
Yeah,
that's
what
it is.
That's the movie it's about. Seth Rogen's in it. The guy that played the Riddler in the Batman's in it. He's the guy that's doing all the betting and everything.
Now I remember it a little bit. Yeah. Pete Davidson's in it. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Paul Dano. Yes, Paul Dano's
Paul
in
Dano,
it.
Yeah.
Star Trek 4 beams up new screenwriter, the flight attendant creator, Steve Yoki. I just want to say this to the people at Paramount and to the fans of Star Trek, as I am one of you, please give up on this project. Chris Pine led Star Trek, the Kelvinverse or whatever it's called at this point, is done. As someone who's watching all the other Star Trek content on Paramount, I don't understand why they want to bring back this Chris Pine movie so bad. Those movies were okay.
They brought back everything else. They renewed interest in Star Trek. They did their job.
Yes, exactly. Hey,
they could save the world by playing AC/DC, bro.
No, not AC/DC. You mean Sabotage, right?
Sabotage. Whatever it was. It doesn't. Music saved the universe, bro. That's all I know.
At this point,
that's what happens when you get a Star Wars fan to make a Star Trek
universe.
But at this point, you did like Jaws said. Jaws just said it perfectly. You did the job. You reintroduced Star Trek to a generation of people that may not have known it as well, or weren't as connected, or weren't as interested. I have a bunch of friends who said that Star Trek: The Next Generation wasn't for them because it just felt too political and too slow. I, however, love Star Trek: The Next Generation. But guess what? You gave us the Kelvinverse, a lot of action. Benedict Cumberbatch is a Khan. Like, you did all the things. You nodded to the OG fans, but you also gave us a new generation. You did it. It's done. Stop trying to make this one. It feels weird now. Like, you have Lower Decks, Discovery, Strange New Worlds. You have all these shows. They're doing well. People like them. Why are you trying?
I guess they feel like, oh, well, we need a movie. We need a movie to get into theaters. We need a movie. We need a tangible movie to get. And people remember this. So, you know, they always kind of hang back. They always like chilling on stuff that everyone knows. And, but I you got three movies. I honestly like the third one. I feel like a lot of people crap on the third one.
I didn't like the third one, but it's not a horrible film. Like,
I like that they're all actually working as a team together. Yeah. Like, you weren't getting that a lot from the second one. It was very, very more action. And I felt the third one is like, damn, oh, we have a busted machine.
We gotta make it work.
Everyone's gotta get behind this and that. Let's make, you know, like, I liked that.
And Idris was great in it as the villain.
And I feel it's a little bit difficult too, because I know didn't Zachary Quinto, he's like, I don't want to play Spock anymore. Like, he was like, I'm good.
No clue, but it makes sense. I remember
that. He was like, you know, this is my last one. I don't want to play Spock anymore. And then
can't do
what's the name spot. Of the guy? Yelkin. He passed away, so it's just like,
the young man. It feels
weird getting the whole band back together, kind of thing.
Yeah, guys, it's done. Move on. I agree. That honestly,
how is Lower Decks though? I've been tempted to.
Lower Decks is fantastic. If you know Star Trek really well, it has so many Easter eggs in it. And if you don't know Star Trek, it's just a funny show. So, I would say check it out. Joker 2 gets R rating for strong violence and brief full nudity. Guys, we're going to be seeing some Joaquin Phoenix helicoptering.
He's going to be draying it up.
Some Joker dances.
Draking it up.
Drake. Oh, yeah, Drake. Oh, God. God. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, rated R we knew, because the first one was rated R, so I don't really see.
But, like,
PG-13 this story.
I don't get this movie. I don't, like, on paper, I don't get this movie. You're a rated R
musical,
full-fronted nudity musical
with 15 covers. They're doing covers of 15 popular songs.
And you're the Joker, but you're not the Joker, which means she's Harley Quinn, but not Harley Quinn.
That's the thing. I don't think she's gonna be Harley Quinn. I don't think she's gonna be Harley and Quinzel.
Well, no, but she's gonna be the same thing, right? She's gonna be like Arthur. This guy's the guy who inspires the Joker. You're gonna be clearly the girl that inspires Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's just like that's where there's a bit of a push. And then like, don't get me wrong, I admit Lady Gaga is getting better as an actress.
I think she's a decent actress.
I'll be honest. When I saw whichever Gucci movie it was.
Oh,
House of Gucci. I was like smashing my head against the wall watching that movie. Sorry,
my partner who likes that. He's supposed to be over the top in that movie. Isn't that part of the character?
Well, I won't.
Yeah, it's the actual person. Right. Actually, had videos of the actual person and her.
Yeah, but
anyways, all that to say, I get what you're saying. I think she's a decent actress. I think her and Joaquin will play well off of each other. I agree with you though. I'm not sure. You know, we're doing Arthur Peck and whoever this character is in a rated R musical that has violence, nudity, and 15 covers in a 2-hour movie.
Yeah,
15 covers in 2 hours.
Because like I want to make it clear, I don't want Joker the spirited version. I don't want that.
I'm expecting, because we're getting 15 covers, I'm expecting the whole film to essentially be his, like, from the perspective of her shattered mind, where everyone is always singing.
Well,
that's what I'm expecting.
It's just going to be him or it's going to be literally where it left off, right? Everyone questions whether or not the movie even happened, because at the end of the movie, right, he's in the insane asylum.
No, but he got brought into the insane.
No, I know, but like,
who thinks that the movie takes place in his broken mind?
Please, I'm not wrong. I don't agree with it, I had read theories online where like you could be right. I don't think so.
No, but
this movie could be though. This movie. Could be in his broken
mind. I honestly truly believe this movie is going to be from the perspective of her mind, her broken mind. Because why would his broken mind go from, even if let's say his broken mind in the first movie was the perspective, he then turns around and just has a musical version. His psychosis develops into just singing every 2 seconds. Like, I don't know.
It's basically Legion in the DC universe.
Yes. Well, because
his broken mind could be the concept of like example. The reason why she could be the inspiration for Harley Quinn, she could hypothetically be his doctor, and then he thinks of everything. Like you know,
I guess so. I guess we'll see. I'm not excited for the movie. I do not want a musical, but. You know, we've said before, this is going to be the same thing as when I saw Madame Web, and I come back and I tell you guys, I saw Madame Web, and you're like, why did you do this? I'm going to see Joker 2, and I'm going to come in here and be like, guys, I saw Joker 2, and you're all going to say, what are you doing to yourself? And I'm going to say, I had to see it. So
we'll see. I'm going to see it, because every time, specifically for the character of Joker, I didn't think Heath Ledger was going to do a good job. I was wrong.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't think Joaquin was going to do a good job with the first one.
And he was great.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
So maybe Joker is the only, and fittingly so, he's the only one when you see something on paper that this doesn't look like it's going to work, and it's always been kicked out of the park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I just realized we do have to sign off, guys. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Fantastic episode. Always fun to do another one with you guys. Transformers Slag,
the Toy Armada podcast.
Toy Armada podcast. And we'll be back with another one soon. Peace, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.